If you have your Bibles and would, turn with us to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I was studying this last week while I was in camp. God give it to me. And I entitled it, The Walk. And I think that if we will look at this, we'll see how a Christian should walk. And in the first 1 through 4, the Bible tells us here about the former walk, how we used to walk. We were, and Paul was telling us that there's a need for salvation. Because of our former condition. And as I was reading this and studying it, I wanted to point out a few things about our former walk. It says in verse, they walked according to a wrong path. As many of us in this room today, we used to walk that same path. They walked the wrong path. They walked according to the world. We wanted to please the world. Our flesh was drawn to the worldly things, and we walked in harmony with the world. Got thinking about that word harmony. And I got thinking, how many of us today walk in harmony with God as we did with the world? The world, the flesh is drawn to the worldly things, and I understand that, and I understand it's a daily battle that we have to try to control ourself, our flesh. We have to ask God for His help to control. That whole harmony thing. Brother Ken, I thought about myself, about how it was that I walked in that same way. And I asked myself, do I walk in harmony with God on a daily basis? Do I seek the things of heaven as I did the things of this world before I got saved? And it says they walked and were under a wrong power. Satan is the power, is the prince of the air. He's in the world, and we served him with like it wasn't nothing. And a lot of us still do that today. A lot of us get upset, and a lot of us get mad, and that's going to happen. It says they walked and were under a wrong power, prince of power of the air. When men sinned, Satan took over. Have you ever noticed that in your life, that how it is that you can do one thing that seems like Satan will jump on you and just about ruin your whole day? He's after you all the time. And there's a lot of times that if we don't watch ourselves, there's a lot of times that if we don't ask God when we sin, I don't know about y'all, but I know that I sin on a daily basis, and I have to ask God's forgiveness. And just as soon as I know that I sin, I have to ask for that, because if not, Satan will take control. He'll jump on me, and he'll work me, and he'll work me and work me, and it just seems like everything just goes bad. Once you do one thing wrong, it just seems like everything goes bad. Rest of the day. They walked and were under a wrong power. They walked and they were led by fleshly pursuits, lust of the flesh. A lot of us walk after worldly flesh today. I know, and I'm not trying to say anything about working and all, it's good to have things, and I want things. I want cows. I don't know about y'all, but I just want cows. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, but it seems though that whenever we start getting things and when God starts pouring out all the blessings upon us and giving us what we want in our hearts, it seems like we take advantage of it. And we start looking, well, look what I done. Look at look at here, pastor's full. Walked after the wrong things in life. But in verse number 4, there's one word there, or two words, that spoke to my heart. And I find myself whenever I know that it was talking about times past, but I find myself in this same situation, even as a Christian today, I find myself. But it says in verse number 4, it says two words, but God. You know, whenever I was in the world and I was walking after the worldly things, and whenever I was seeking to, and I was in harmony with the world, I didn't want nobody to interrupt me, but God saw things different. But God saw that He had a work for me. But God sees that He's got a work for you. That's why you're saved. But God. The present walk of the believer in Ephesians 2 and 10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Since the believer has been saved, his conduct. I noticed that my former walk and my walk now, it's a whole lot different. I've got a new perspective on life. I don't know about you, but I every step, whenever I get up in the morning times, I walk every morning, try to. Now, don't take it. I try to walk every morning. But as I was walking this morning and I was thinking about this, and I got to thinking about how it is that every step that I take, I want to be that much closer to God. I want to be in harmony with God. You say, you talk a lot about harmony, but I do, because whenever you're in harmony and I'm in harmony and everybody's in harmony, the church is in harmony. And it's important that that God's people is in harmony with one another. But I want to be in harmony. I want to put as much into getting closest to God as I did trying to get close to Satan. And I wonder, what about you tonight? I wonder how many of us wake up in the morning times, and I know that a lot of us are in a rush and we're trying to get everything done, but how many of us stop and just say, Lord, I just want to be closer to You today. Lord, every step I take, let it be closer to You. Every breath I take, every time I say something, Lord, just let it be about You. I just wonder how many of us take the time to say, thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. As I was looking at this, I have my conduct is different. The old things are passed away. I don't do the things that I used to do. Can I tell you this? If you still do the same things that you've done before you got saved, chances are you're not saved. If you still seek that worldly stuff, chances are you're not saved. If you still like going to the bars, if you still like getting around a bunch of people cussing and listening to dirty jokes, chances are you're not saved. Either you're saved or you backslid way back. You need to check yourself. And it's real easy, especially on the job sites. I know when it's real easy on the job sites to get to whenever they're telling jokes, just to listen to it. And you say, well, I really don't pay it that much of attention, but as long as you hear it, God, I mean, Satan is knowing that you're listening to that. It was real easy for me to walk away from God because I got, well, I ain't going to go there. It will be a new walk. He is now under new control. Where Satan once led me, where Satan once carried me, where Satan once controlled my life, now I have a Creator that has come into my life. My Savior has, He saved me and He's come into my life, and now I'm controlled by Him. I'm led by Him. I'm under a new control. Verse 10, I'm His workmanship. I thought that was very interesting how that we are now God's handiwork. He can use us. He can use us. If we are not now what we were, if we are, then we are not saved. He is now going by new conduct. His works will please God. He is now traveling on a new course that we should walk in them. Not walking in the harmony of the world, but harmony with God. 3, the practical walk of the believer. Ephesians 4:1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. We are to walk worthy of our calling. We are Christians and should walk like a Christian. Our calling is a high calling. It is a holy calling. And it is a heavenly calling. We are to walk as Christ walked. That's hard to do. Amen. It is hard to do. I know how it is in my life. I like using me because I don't know about your life and I know about my life. And I know how hard it is on me to walk the Christian life. It's hard for me to walk like everything we talk about. I can be going down the road. I don't know about y'all, man. Y'all know I preach. I love to preach. But I can go down the road and that's my worst. Telling you, you can ask my wife, that's about the worst thing that I can do is drive. Because I get so aggravated. We was coming home from Mississippi the other night, and there's a car. We was getting on I-20 in Birmingham, and it had two lanes. Well, one lane goes to an exit, and one lane comes on I-20. Instead of this car slowing down and getting behind me, he just comes over and just almost his back door is at my fender and almost runs me and Matt and Cooper off the road. What do you think I done? I asked my daughter, she was on the phone with me. Lord, I had to ask forgiveness because I blessed that man one way. My son-in-law woke up and he was all upset and carrying on. It's hard to walk the Christian life. But we also know that we have a Heavenly Father that if when we do sin like that, we can ask forgiveness of it. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I'm the world's worst about getting road rage. I'll be honest with you. But I got to work on it. I know that. Number 4, it's the peculiar walk of the believer. Ephesians 4:17-19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. I think that's how you say that word. To walk all uncleanliness and greediness. It's a walk not as other Gentiles walk. Here we see the pattern of pagans. How do other Gentiles walk? Pagan life, and I want to bring a few things out here. A pagan life, other Gentiles' life is set forth here in its separation. Its separateness. Alienated from God. There's a lot of times that I go into Chinese food. I ain't supposed to have it, but I go in there. But I go in there and you see their God sitting on the counter. I don't want to down their religion by no means, because that's what they believe. But if they don't get right with God, they're going to die and go to hell. But they are separated from God. Somebody that is not saved, they don't know. They are blind to the things of God, and they don't know the things of God. They're blind to it. They're not like us. They don't see the heavenly things. They don't see the things. They're separated. Like we were before we got saved. We were separated from God. They were separated, but I also see their emptiness, their vanity of the mind. Look in 18a of chapter 4. Yeah, and chapter 4, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Their separateness, their emptiness, their darkness, understanding darkness, 18c. Because of the blindness of their heart, they're in darkness. Their shamefulness, work all uncleanness. It's a greediness. We see their inner emptiness, their unbridled desires. This is the course of this age without God. If you'll look around you, we find today, if we'll look around, we'll find a lot of greedy people. You know something? I also noticed something else. It's not only that the parents are greedy, but when the parents are greedy, the children are greedy. I tried to teach my grandkids, and I tried to teach my kids this whenever I was growing up, but I tried to teach my grandkids that you don't get everything that you want. A problem with a lot of kids today, and I'll deal with my son later, but he wants everything that it takes people years and years and years to get. He wants it all right now. And that's the way kids are today. They want the big trucks. They want the Jake. He wants all the pasture land. He wants all the cows. He wants the big truck. He wants the big trailer. He wants it all. But the thing about it is he ain't got the funds to get it. And you know where the burden comes from whenever the kids don't have the funds to get it? It puts the burden on the parents because they complain to the parents. And the parents, and I'm not trying to get on to you, I'm just telling you, but today's society, the parents are scared to death of the kids. And all they got to do is say, I'll just call social services to you. You know what? If my kids had said that to me, you know what I would have? Hey, you go ahead and call them because by the time they get here to the time, you're mine. We're living in a different society today. We're living in a world where we want to please our kids instead of raising our kids. It's wrong. Why? Can somebody please explain to me why it took you for your whole life to get what you got and all of a sudden your kids expect everything right now? Don't make sense. No, I won't stay on that. Because I'll stay on it and I'll get in trouble. There's not many walking this path that we're walking today. You know, and I know I haven't been coming here long, but you don't find what we have here at Liberty. You don't find it just everywhere. People don't want to walk that path. I worry about these small churches, what a fear it is of how you may facing shutting the doors of a church. Scary. Done everything you know to do. Scary. But we just don't have people wanting to walk in the same path that we're walking today. The godly walk is seen in 22 and 32. We are to leave off the old garment. We are to learn Christ, His conduct. We are to love one another. In 30 and 32, we are to labor with our hands. In verse 28, we are to let the Spirit have His way. In verse 30, no one is special who is not ethical. Let me say that up. No one is spiritual. I'm sorry. No one is spiritual who is not ethical. The path, the pattern walk of the believer. In chapter 5 and 1 through 6, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. You know the problem today with a lot of us is we don't love one another. We don't love people. Stay away. Don't come talk to me. Don't come to my house. Don't shake my hand. Don't. And there's something wrong with that, because God's people are supposed to love one another. Just as Christ loves you, we're supposed to love one another the same way. See someone in the grocery store and turn to go the other way because you don't want to talk to them. Not too long ago, we had an episode like that. Walked in the grocery store, saw somebody in there, I said, yeah, I just don't want to talk to them folks. As a matter of fact, it was Walmart. We saw somebody come into Walmart. And we said, we don't want them to see us because we'll be here all night. We don't want them to see. Let's just hide. Let's stay. She grabbed me by the hand. They ain't no difference in our life and y'all's life. There ain't no difference between my life and Brother Ken's. Brother Mike's, we're all the same. We all do the same things. But if y'all knew this man, y'all would understand. We would have been there all night, okay? But we are to love one another. We are supposed to have the love of God down deep inside of us. But a lot of us don't have that love. A lot of us need to find the love. We don't even know how much God loved us. Sincerely. We really just don't know how much God loved us. Because if we sincerely knew how much God loved us, we would love people the same way. Yes, we know that He died on the cross for our sins. We know that He was buried and raised again. We know that He saved us from a devil's hell. We know all this, but do we really, really, truly know the love that He had for each one of us? As I was studying this, it kind of hit me, because can I be honest with you? I really don't know the love that He shed for me, that He had for me. If we're honest with ourselves, none of us do. As I was looking at this, if we are to walk in love, it will exclude lust. 5:2-6, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not covenant, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you. And that is something that we face today. Let no man deceive us. But how many times in a day does men deceive you? How many times in a day does Satan deceive you? Let no man deceive you with vain words. Nor unclean person, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We are to be imitators of God. I want to ask you a question. How can we be imitators of God if we don't know the love of God? How can we be imitators of God if we don't know how He walked? How can we be imitators of God if we don't know how He talked? How He handled certain situations? How can we be imitators of God if we don't know nothing about God? Imitators of God in 5:1. Here duty is declared. Inspired by Christ. A lot of us are being inspired by a lot of different things in this world. And Christ is the furthest thing from your mind. We should be inspired by Christ. Here is a pattern displayed. And walk in love. In verse number 2. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. I wonder how many of us stink in the nostrils of God today. Or do we have, are we a sweet-smelling Savior? My grandson, he come in and my daughter handed him to me a while ago, and he smelled just like maple syrup. I'm telling you what, good. I haven't had no good maple syrup in so long, trying to lose weight. But that aroma, that smell, smelled good. Just wonder how many of us, when God smells, when He hugs, how many of us have that sweet smell to God? Impurity is to be avoided. Power is demanded for this. The public walk of a Christian, Brother Ken, I'll be done in just a minute. The public walk of the Christian, 5:8 through 11, I'm sorry. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. In the Lord, walk as children of the light. And for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Hey, here's the thing. Are we too scared to stand up for Christ? Is that why we listen to all the dirty jokes? Is that why we like getting around and start cussing? And are we afraid that somebody's going to say something to us or make fun of us or get mad at us? What is the reason why we really don't stand up for Christ these days? I don't want to be around that kind of stuff. And here's the thing. I know that it goes on the job sites, but that just because it goes on don't mean that you have to be a part of it. Because I was working in construction. We had these big tub grinders. I didn't have to participate in what was going on there. I did, but I didn't have to. Because I didn't know how much God loved me. We don't have to participate. We walk as children of light. This is how we are to walk in the world. The world in darkness needs our light. If I hope nobody in here takes offense to this, but if you were blind, Brooke Ken, if you were blind, how would you get around? How would you know where to go? That is what we are put on this earth to do. We have a calling. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a teacher. You may just think that, well, I just go to church and sit there. But out in the world, God has a calling on your life to lead people that are in the darkness, lead them to the light. But how can we lead people to the light if we are in darkness ourselves? The whole darkness thing is, it's a scary. Can I tell you something? I know this. I've talked to several people that are blind, and it's a real scary place to not be able to see something. This world is walking in darkness. It's a scary place. Do you remember when you walked in the same course as they are? Do you remember where you were when God saved you? Do you remember how wretched you were, how lost you were? And we're no better today, but the only thing that's better about us is we're saved. God has saved us. But it took somebody, I don't know about you, but it took somebody coming and talking to me and showing me the way. Are you that person that's going to lead the next one to Christ? Are you that person that's gonna grab somebody by the hand that's in the dark place in their life and say, brother or sister, I'm here for you, and I want to tell you about this man named Jesus, and I want to lead you to him. I want to show you what he done and how he can bring you out of this dark place in your life. Are you gonna be that next person? Are you going to let the next person pass by? And the next person pass by? And the next, and the next. And see, we got in a routine where we just let them pass by. Even when God tells us, so you need to talk with them, but we just let them pass by. Somebody else will take care of that. Preacher come by. No, it ain't, can I tell you something? It ain't the preacher's place to go and try to get people in church. It ain't the preacher's place to go and talk to people. It's everybody's place. It's everybody's place. The world in darkness needs our light. This is clearly seen in our conduct. If our conduct is not right, the world ain't going to see Christ. Paul shows us the walk in Philippians 2 and 15. I had that marked, and for some reason I took it out. Let me see if I'm Philippians 2 and 15. Philippians 2, 15 and 16 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Christian's pedigree. I like this because it's my pedigree wasn't that great coming up. But now that I'm saved, I'm in a new pedigree. I'm a different person. I've got somebody that really loves me, that really cares for me, that really takes, boy, he just, how good he is to me. And you know what? He calls me his son. The Christian's pedigree, we're sons of God. The Christian's position in the world. The Christian's privilege shines as light. We are not to shine in the church. It's real easy to come to church and let your light shine. It's real easy to come to church and take the whatever it is that's covering your light. It's real easy to come to church when we're around a bunch of Christian people. It's real easy to come and let our light shine because we want people to know that we're saved. But can I tell you, the light that we need to be shining, it really doesn't make a difference what you are in church. It's how you are outside the four walls. Don't take me wrong, but we should come to church to worship. And we should come to church to please God. But we also should go out them doors pleasing God by letting our light shine into a dark and lonely world. They sing a little song. How does it go? Hiding under a bushel? Not gonna let my light. How does it go, Kathy? Yeah, there you go. We are hiding our light under a bushel. We don't let it shine into a world. You say, why do you say that? Because if you look around you today, how many people is getting saved? And can I tell you that the world is searching for something? They're searching for a better life. They're searching. They want something better. When you were lost and you were in the world, did you not want something better? I know I did. There have to be more to life than this. Did you ever say that to yourself? I know I did. But God, who is rich, let me just turn back over, I don't want to misquote it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His grace, great love, wherein He loved us. But God. The practical walk, we are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk carefully. Because of our location in the world, we are here to give a testimony because of our confession. We are Christians, God's children, different. Are you different from the world? Can the world see your light? Because of the confession of the world, because of the confusion of the world, the world needs a clear testimony. Are we given clear testimony or are we given mixed signals? We are to walk in unity. We are walk in purity. We are walk in charity. We are walk in clarity. We walk carefully. We walk in harmony. We walk in victory. Our church could be walk in victory. And I'm not saying that we're not. Don't get take me wrong. But if we had more harmony, if we had more unity, I've never seen it in my day. I've never seen where we have so much, so many people that we're just not in unity with one another. We're not in unity with God. We're not in unity with each other. We're not in unity with what's going on at church. We're just not in unity. And when we're not in unity, we're not in harmony. If we're not in harmony, we can't get the victory. Just a little thought that I had as I was studying this past week. Just wonder today how many of us can really say that when we go out into the world, when we go out of these walls, that we're really letting our light shine. Or how many of us are hiding under a bushel. World can't tell the difference between you and them. Wonder, Brookie.